You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it
does. Well, if you are excited as I am, if you are happy this morning to experience God, to experience the word of God, I want you to rise up with onto your feet and with a shout, with a hand clap, with praises unto God, let us welcome our father, our daddy, our one and only, the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Oh, wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. I am so excited to be here. Amen. Come on. Why don't you just get up and give the Lord a wave as you dance? Yes. Yeah. Let's see people dance in their houses, praising the Lord. Those who know, those. Rise your feet. Let's dance. Let's welcome the Lord. Hey. Bible says, come into his presence with singing. Come into his presence with singing. I see you, Brother James. I see you, Diane. I see you, Brother Spen. Hey, I see you, the Banks. Yeah, Mama Mercy, I see you. Hey. I see you, Reverend Lindsay. Love the name. I see you, Lee. I see you, Lee. Where is Victoria? Abengwe, I don't see you. All right, I see you. I see you, Adele. Oral, yeah. That's right, Brother Kevin and family. You're looking so beautiful. I like your moves. Why are you showing only Spencer? I see you, Benu. Benu, where's your family? Where's your husband? Where's your children? Let them all come and join, yeah. Yeah, Grandma. I love you. Name of G. All right. I see you, Grant and David. I see you, Leah. Yeah, Lindsay, I see you. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Well, let's share a word of prayer. Please lift up your hands and close your eyes with me. Let's share a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to serve you. Where would we be otherwise? Many of us came from very depraved, very evil backgrounds, but you have purged us. You have made us better. You've cleansed us, made us your own. We want to come and thank you and give you glory and praise. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Without you, we can do nothing. We are like orphans without you, like Jesus said. Help us to serve God well, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. We bind every principality that is assigned against this service, that is assigned against any household, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, clap for the Lord one more time and give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. You may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. We want to go straight into the word. Amen. Yeah. Want to go straight into the word. All right. Now, today we want to share something important, something great, something that will bless your heart. There are a lot of changes that are coming that you need to be aware of. Hallelujah. That you need to be aware of. Tell somebody, say changes, changes, new changes. Tell somebody new things, new things.
God is doing a
new thing. Yeah, new things, new things.
New things.
Hallelujah, new things.
New things are happening.
All right. So listen, I want to announce the new things and I preach along as I announce them. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Amen. Now, let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 40.
Try my glasses.
Isaiah chapter 43. Chapter 42, actually. And verse number 9. Okay, now let's read from verse number 8 first. Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My name is the Lord. The Lord means master, owner. You know, Bible says we are his, the sheep of his pasture. We are his. Okay? So I am the Lord. That is my name. So the Lord, the name Lord is not just, there's not just a description. It's a name. It's a name as well. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Okay? That means that the Lord wants us to really love him and love him only. He said he will not share his... The Lord says he will not share his glory or his shine with anybody. So today, let everything that is done here be to his glory. Glory means shine. Okay, glory means shine. All right? Behold, the former things, verse 9, are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Hallelujah. So new things are coming. New things are coming, and I'm going to share it with you. But before we go on to the new things, today, the chapter that, or the subject of our discussion is honor. Honor. Honor relationships. Honor relationships. Honor relationships, okay? Now, every relationship, for it to work and to give you the desired results, you will have to sow certain things inside. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Hallelujah. I want to just read it again. Okay, Romans 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Hey, whatever is due anybody, render it to them. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear or reverence to whom reverence is due. Honor to whom honor is due. Today we're not talking about any of the others. We're talking about honor. To honor someone is to respect the person. To honor someone is to bestow on the person a certain value. That is something you share with others to make people realize that this is not a mean person. This person has importance to me. Now, that is what honor is. Anytime you refuse to honor whoever you are relating with, based on what the person needs to be honored with, you never get the right feedback from the person. For example, if you are with the boss and you do not recognize the boss and give him the due respect, you are likely not to get the results that people who have a boss get. All right? So honor is actually like a seed. Every relationship for you, not everyone is due honor. Okay? Not everyone is due honor. However, some people are due honor and must be given their due. You see, must be given their due. You see, so great relationships flourish when honor is given where it is due. Okay? No honor, no great relationship. For example, I notice that as I've been in a relationship with my wife, anytime just I decide to despise or to disregard her, I never get what is due, what is expected in a marriage. Yeah. And even as I do my medical thing, when a patient is there, a patient is supposed to be respected and to be given the due, what is due? You due pity, due care, tender loving care. Anytime you change and you do anything else, you realize that they react towards you. They react. Even my children, I have to relate with them in a particular way. There is always something that you need to sow in a relationship to get the right results. Every relationship. Bible, for example, says, husband, love your wives. I can assure you, if you don't love your wives, You are not going to get anything. Even your food is going to come in a way you will not be able to. You will lose your appetite. It's the truth. You have to love. There, God knows why he says love. Because that is what makes them tick. Yeah. Any woman who is funny or in any way, just apply love. You will get an angel. Yeah. Just apply love to the most wicked. You will get an angel. What it is that you are sowing. You see, relationships are like the soil. Soil will bring nothing out except you sow the seed. And the things that you need to sow, love is a seed. Honor is a seed. Submission is a seed. When you sow the seed, you get the fruits back. You get multiple. Okay? So every relationship deserves its due. Wives deserve love. Husbands deserve submission too. Wives, submit to your own husbands. I can assure you, a man becomes like, marshmallow when you submit. Soft. Yeah. Soft. You know, that's what Delilah used. The thing that Delilah used, if all Christian wives will use, they will get the most beautiful. Delilah sowed submission, will cry out a little bit, "You don't love me, you know, come and lie on my lap." How many wives give their laps for their husband just to lie down, just come and rest? I don't, it may never have happened in your marriage. That can explain why you don't get the results you want. Yeah. That's why his financial strength is not being given to you. That's why his manpower strength is not being given to you, because you have not sown. Delilah sowed and got the strength, the full strength of Samson. Ladies and gentlemen, that relationship requires, she sowed submission. The husband, and then he demanded from Samson, sow love, so that you can, but unfortunately it was an evil thing. It was an evil source. Ladies and gentlemen, now, so I'm coming, therefore, anytime you sow the seed in a relationship, you reap the benefits. Yeah, you reap the benefits. When you sow hard work in your relationship with your books, you reap the benefit of good grades. Yeah. So this morning, I want us to just come and sow what we need to sow in certain relationships. Today, I'm going to talk about three relationships. And God will, next week, I'll talk about the others. But the first relationship is our relationship with God. The second relationship is our relationship with Jesus Christ. The third is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, the key thing that you need to sow in these relationships is honor. Today, I'm talking about the seed of honor in our relationships. The seed of honor. Okay? Not the seed of love, not the seed of submission, not the seed of money, not the seed of talk, but the seed of honor, respect, reverence to God. All right? Now, number one, honor the Father and it will give life to your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Honor God. Okay? Honor God, the Heavenly Father. Honor Him. Honor Him. And suddenly life will come to your relationship with Him. Honor Him. Honor Him. Now, let me tell you something. This is so real. Even the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, that you may live long in this earth. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 6. You realize that when children, if you're a father, when your child does not respect you or honor you, they don't get the things that they ought to get. It's the truth. Any disrespectful son, you only get curses. You don't get any blessings. You don't get the love that is supposed to be coming from your father. You don't get the financial blessings. The prodigal son left and went away without honor. But when he came back, he came with honor. He says, look, I don't even deserve. I've realized I made a mistake. You didn't deserve the way I treated you. I am back. I've changed my attitude. I'm going to respect you as my father. Even if it means I won't get what a father gives, but I'll get what a servant gets, not what a son gets. I am ready to respect you. He started sowing the seed of honor. He started respecting the father for who he is. He started coming to him in recognition. He says, Father, I've sinned against you. I repent. I change. I am transformed. I want to come back and restore my relationship with you with dignity and honor. Ladies and gentlemen, immediately, the guy who was eating with pigs started eating buffet. A buffet was set up. The fattened calf was killed for him. A party was thrown. A party that even the guy who was inside always there had never been eaten any of the goats, but he got one. They gave him clothes to wear. They gave him a ring to put on his finger. He got a big hug. A hug means acceptance. A hug means love. A hug means, wow, you are back and I receive you wholeheartedly. God is the one who was that father. He was depicting God, that man. He was depicting the love of God and the restorative influence when Christians begin to honor him. The question I ask you, how much honor have you given to God? How much love? How much reverence? What is the place of God in your life? What is the place of God? Is he in a place of respect? Or is he in a place of ridicule and second place? When you honor somebody, you give him first place. I'm talking about God the Father. Many of Christians who seem like Christianity is dry and we are eating with pigs, it's because we are behaving like the prodigal son. We have no respect for our father. How dare you just walk away from your father just because you have what it takes. I have a credit card. I have a job. I'm grown. I'm a grown man. I cannot be told what to do. I cannot be told what to do. I cannot be advised. I don't need the word of God. I don't need any preaching. I can handle things by myself. That was the message of the prodigal son. But he didn't realize that it does not take just things and walk away and say, I have a father. But it takes a relationship. And that relationship, you need to sow honor into it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30. This was the prophet Eli playing with honoring God. Just like Samson played and toyed with the anointing. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, Bible says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, was speaking to Eli about what he had done. Eli had just left his children to just go rampant. Were just there misbehaving and wouldn't say anything. I mean, he respected his children so much and feared them and reverenced them that when they misbehaved, he was afraid to offend them. You know, he was an old man, and I'm sure that the children would sometimes bring him food. The children would come and clean the place. The children would drive him around. He was too old and frail. He felt that if he offended his children, nobody would bring him food. Nobody would do the things that they did. He felt that his source of strength was in his children. They are coming to take on the priesthood. Therefore, he lost honor. He lost the respect. He lost the relationship that he had with God. And this is what God then sent for him to hear. He said, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that your house, the house of your father, you should. In fact, let me just read a little bit. Can you go up a little bit so that you can get a background of this story? Okay. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse. Okay. Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, how they lay with the women, they slept with the women, and that they assembled at the door of the tabernacle. They assembled women at the door of the church and took them in one by one. One by one. One by one. A priest. Don't look. I mean, he turned the whole temple into a brothel. Brothel. You see that? And although he didn't say they should do it, he had become like a pimp to God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you know what to do and do not do it to you, it is sin. He had lost the respect. If he respected God, he would have trained his children to respect God. You see, he was very old. Heard that all the things that were done. Okay? Now, verse 23. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear your evil dealings by all these people. Now, go on. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. Go on, verse 25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord will slay them. Now, go on, verse 26. And the child Samuel grew. Now, watch this. So, you see, sometimes, like Christians, Eli was behaving like many Christians. We say the jargons, but we put no action to it. Yeah. He said the right things, but with the wrong heart. Christians know how to say praise the Lord, know how to sing songs, know how to lift up their hands. But when it comes to the action, there is no action. When it comes to obedience, there's no obedience. What is obedience? Bible says, do not honor with word, but with deed. With indeed, and it works. Okay? Mount service was being done by Eli, and listen to the response. Respect is not, hi, oh, please, I respect you, okay? When you say somebody is humble, it's not by the person coming to say, I am humble, but practice humility for real. But not Eli. Eli spoke about it, but did not enforce it. Did not even remove the children from the church, that you are no longer priests, but he kept them going. And look at what the Lord said. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli the priest and said to him, okay? Now, that is a reason why I and in UD and Lighthouse, we don't just sit down and tell, we preach from the pulpit. Just go and pray. But we help you to pray. We find out whether you are praying. We call you. Are you praying? We set up prayer chains for you. We put names and things there. Because Eli just spoke it. But many people don't understand it. Look, pulpit preaching does not make Christians. Pulpit preaching is not pastoring. It's not shepherding. It's not shepherding. It's just like a father who just says, oh, don't do that, okay? And just walks away. And the child is misbehaving. And the father is not doing anything. Bible says that that one, God said he was going to require it from Eli. Mouth talk. And, you know, we are so used in the Christian world to church that projects from just the pulpit. And then one person told me, when I told the person, oh, do your quiet time. I told somebody, you know, you can't be, you know, this is not the right thing to do. You have to tithe. I told the person how to tithe. I sat down there. And the person, I told the person who was sleeping with another person and living in anyhow. I said, no, this is not the right thing. As a pastor, I can show you this, how to. The person told me, I'm grown. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man. As if the scripture is only for children. As if that when you grow, you outgrow God and you outgrow scriptures. That is dishonor. How will you feel when your child is a, your baby is a child? Everything you say, they do. When they grow up, they say, Mom, I'm grown. I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. I will do what I want. And they live in your house and you take care of them. Just like God takes care of us. Ladies and gentlemen, when we sow honor into our relationship with God, we benefit. Our Christianity comes alive. There is nothing God will not do for you. The prodigal son had wasted everything, but God says, I'll make room for you. I'll give you new clothes. I'll give you a new ring. It is never over. Even if you've actually taken what you think is yours is finished, your big brother may say you have no hope, but God says, just honor him. You have a lot of hope. Yeah. Eli type of priesthood only kills the church members, only kills the children. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, don't accept preaching. Don't make your pastor a preacher from the pulpit. Make sure that you have a pastor. Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors, not just preachers, after my heart, and they will now feed you. They will feed you. They will feed you. It means open your mouth. Let me put it on. Open your mouth. Eat. That is what a pastor is, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Somebody say, Yeah. If you don't have a pastor that can tell you that why haven't you had your quiet time? That cannot tell you why haven't you joined the prayer? If you don't have a pastor that is telling you why are you still in fornication? If you have a pastor that is asking you that when are you going to get married? If you don't have a pastor who cannot tell you these things, please fire the pastor. Because Eli curses are coming. Let me read to you what happened. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. And there came a man of God. A man of God came to the preacher, Eli. and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear into the house of your father when they were in Egypt and in Pharaoh's house? Did I not do that? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of your father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel?" God said, "Look, I did all these things for your people, for your fathers. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings?" Do you know what that means? He was not kicking at the sacrifice. It was the children, the church members. And yet God was blaming the pastor. God was blaming the pastor. That is why a real pastor will take the blame. Yeah. Adam and Eve were there. Eve went and ate the fruit. When God came, he blamed the priest Adam. God will blame every father if your children are living wayward without honoring him. Yeah. Eli was not kicking against things. But God said, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me? You respect the church members more than me. You are afraid to offend them." Look, spiritually, you are God's children, but God has made me like a babysitter to you, so I'm representing God for you. I am the overseer. That's why the Bible says, obey them that watch over you and submit yourself to them. Why? Because they watch for your souls. Look at what God said. Look at the word. Because they will give account for you as they that give account, that they may do so with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable unto you. Obey them. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Obey them that have the... But anyway, Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. All right? Now, listen carefully. Let's keep going. The man of God, an angel, came and told the pastor that, "No, you haven't done right. You should have told them what to do." Let's go to the next, the verse again, 27. 1 Samuel chapter 22, chapter 2, verse 27. Please, go back. Sister Gail. Okay, let me just go ahead myself. Okay, verse 29. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering?" You know, the children, they were stealing the offering too. Stealing the women, stealing their virginity, stealing their sacrifices. It was terrible. Yeah, and it was very difficult. Because he just said and did not enforce it. Okay. "Why do you kick at my sacrifices and my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling place," or the house of God, "and you honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people?" Verse 30. "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house, your church, and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Ladies and gentlemen, you see, sometimes the reason why church members don't prosper is because of the pastor. And I don't blame you. I fully take responsibility for your prosperity. Yes. Because God, Bible says that by his prophets, God took Israel out of Egypt, and by that same prophet shall he preserve them. Your preservation is also with the prophets. Yeah. It's the truth. Let me explain to you. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. I am telling you, I have learned to prosper as I've listened to the man of God. They've told me what to do. I've asked them, how should I do it? I've taken it. It has led to my blessing in many areas. How to raise children, how to treat a wife, how to treat a boss, how to work, how to even study. They're all in the Bible. As I listen, I do them. How to pray, how to relate with God, how to honor God. Listen to this. Listen to this carefully. And I said, I gave you a scripture to open. 1 Chronicles 20:20. Anyway, let me just quote it. It says that, you know, that And, you know, when they, this was at Tekoa, but the second part, it says that, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Yeah. So shall you prosper. Okay? So, I want you to know that prosperity, though God establishes you as a Christian, to prosper, to go forward in a certain way, it is from the teachings. It is from the direction. It is from who is going to help you. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe God first. Don't believe in man without believing God. But Bible says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. A prophet is, who is a prophet? It's somebody that comes to you and says, thus says the Lord. That brings the word of God. That represents God. Prophet means God's messenger. Apostles are messengers, are the sent one. Prophet means God sends his message through the words and speaks to you. This is what the Lord says. That says the Lord. Amen. And they come in a certain power. Ladies and gentlemen, prosperity in every area is in his word. Yes, you will prosper. Hallelujah. Now, why am I saying that? If you don't reverence God, you will never reverence the words that are coming from the pulpit. Yeah, you will just be, just like the Eli's children. The words will come. You will hear, but you won't do it. And your pastor too won't mind you. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know what happened eventually? Both Eli and the children were punished. Both Eli and the children died on the same day. Ladies and gentlemen, they did not survive. And rather Samuel, who was the little one who walked in obedience, who obeyed everything that Eli did, was the one who prospered and became the greatest, somebody who was never meant to exist. He was prayed into being. And when he was prayed into being, he was donated to the church. He lit candles and he responded to everything. He grew up well. What Eli could not do, God used Samuel to do. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I talking about? From now, we are going to bring some changes by the grace of God. You need to be able to honor God to be able to do that. You need to be able to respect God to be able to do that. Let me tell you, this thing that the story I gave you, is Eli and his children. Eli and his church members, and why they didn't prosper, and why God terminated his contract with them, and rather raised the contract through Samuel. But we are not going to sit down for that to happen to us. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. So if God has raised a prophet, then we need to really honor the word of God through the prophets that he's given to us. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing we are going to do to honor God is that we are going to change all our prayer meetings. Hallelujah. We're going to change our prayer meetings. And we're going to do what we call flow. We're going to flow with the Lord in the name of Jesus. Clap for the Lord Jesus. We're going to learn how to spend time. We're going to give you time to spend. We have taught you a lot about prayer. Every time, every day, we're on the prayer line with you. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all these things. Wednesday, we do a whole lot of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do it only twice a week. And the rest, you're going to have to do it personally. Otherwise, you become just somebody who is dependent all the time. We're going to mix the two properly. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Mix the two. Yeah. Two of the days, we're going to all come together and learn higher levels flowing. Yeah. Now, and then the rest of the days, you're going to pray for yourself and learn to pray based on the topics that we learned. What do I mean? Well, one of the ways to honor the Lord is just to draw near to him, watching and praying. How do I know? Because in the beginning, Adam and Eve, when God created them and made them his own, he gave them instructions in that regard. The first instruction that he gave, Genesis chapter 3, which the devil caused them actually to flaunt, to disobey, is what I'm going to read to you from verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Watch this. when from verse 1, the devil told them, oh, disobey God, they also disobeyed God. They ate the fruit. They ate the fruit. When they ate the fruit, and now they had dishonored God, dishonored by disobeying his word, everything. Then the Lord came back and explained what had happened. And Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord, verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you, Adam? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because of what you've done, you are cursed above all cattle and above all I put enmity. And verse 16, and to the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow you bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded you, don't eat. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and in sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground again. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Mercy. Mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, all this came through dishonoring God. What we have is the restored mankind, where through Jesus Christ, we've come back to God. And while we are in the presence of God, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing the same thing. Adam and Eve ran from the presence of God. That was the first manifestation that they were gravitating at, that the serpent's seed had entered them. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need to do is to go the opposite way from what Adam and Eve did. Adam and Eve stayed back from the presence of God. When you are the redeemed you by the Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, you need to be found in the presence of God. One of the new things that we're going to do is that on Tuesdays and on Thursdays, okay, or rather Monday evenings and Thursday evening, 11 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a prayer meeting that's going to go on from that time through the morning, early hours of the morning. You and I are going to spend time and get back to the garden. I call it getting back to the garden attitude. Hallelujah. It's called the flow prayer meeting. Now, these prayer meetings are online. You know, let me tell you something. I have led you in prayer meetings all these years by the grace of God. Many of you have become prayer warriors. I preached to you all these years. Many of you can now preach even better than myself. But what you have not been able to do is what this time you will do. Instead of me leading the prayer meeting, listen, I want to give you some good news. I have been trying very hard over the years to get Bishop Dagwood Mills to come and preach in our church, to come and lead us in our prayer meeting. Finally, because of Corona, he's able to do that twice a week. Clap for the Lord Jesus. He's going to be leading us. Finally, I almost said, thank God for coronavirus. Well, maybe I should say that. Ladies and gentlemen, he has now agreed and dedicated 2 days of his life to lead us in a prayer. Wow. I have experienced the testimony that our sister just gave, that in a prayer meeting with Bishop Doug, when he finished, a woman who has never prayed in tongues felt restless, and he slept, and the prayer kept going on through the sleep, and woke up and was speaking in tongues. He went to take a cigarette, something he has resisted, fought hard to stop. Suddenly, the Spirit of God said, no, not anymore. For the first time, he dropped the cigarette. For the first time, addictive behavior was given. Power and strength had come through prayer by the presence of God, by the anointing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When I heard that testimony, I said, no, I'm doing something wrong. I am doing something wrong. If I keep leading you, I go for those prayer meetings, but I have never really introduced you to it. Today, I'm formally introducing you to it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Today, I'm inviting you to it. I'm even going to make room, have all kinds of WhatsApp, little watch groups, such that will benefit from it. And you will have time in between to relax. Only 2 days. How is it going to be? I'm telling you honestly that we are going to come back to the presence of God. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Eli told his children, but he did not give them the ways and the steps and make sure that that was being done. That is what we want to do. So how are we going to do it? Well, that flow prayer meeting, which is led by our bishop every, it's actually from midnight thereabout. So Monday night, when you go to sleep, and then you wake up around between 11 and 12, that's when it starts. And he leads us in a prayer and prophesies. There's anointing and power that flows. Sometimes it goes all the way to 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 4 a.m., depending. He's ended at 1 a.m. before, ended at 2 before, ended at 4 before, whichever. But that number of hours of intense prayer. Sometimes said, every walking, take out your pillow and let. He woke up himself. He wakes up to pray with us, to lead us, to show us to pray. And the anointing is flowing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we call the flow prayer service. Yeah. So because of that, rather than me being selfish and enjoying it all the time, many of the prayer topics I bring to you, that's where I learn it. I am connecting you directly to that place. Put your hands together for Jesus. Directly. So what I'm going to ask you to do is that I told you it's on Monday evening from 11 p.m. through the early morning of Tuesday. So 11 p.m. So if I was you, and then also on Thursday evening from 11 p.m. That's it. And then it goes through the morning, you know, from midnight through. Well, if I was you, what I'll do is that I'll sleep early on Monday evening. We'll have no meetings. I'll sleep early, maybe around 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, and I wake up at 11. And then from then, now I'm awake. It's just like me. Most of you don't sleep early. Most of you sleep at 1, and you wake up at 6. Well, sleep at 7, wake up at 12 or 11, and join. And then just pray along. Come into the presence of God, back to the garden. Pray your way back. Just like the prodigal son, I'm back. And let the Lord put his ring on your finger. Let the Lord clothe you, cover you. Let the Lord give you a new song like our sister. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I can't wait to see its impact on your life. So we're going to form these watch parties. We're going to be each other's keeper. We're going to give you the link that you go on Facebook. Everybody must have a Facebook account. If you don't have one, we'll help you. So that he, because of Corona, he's not able to, you know, go into his church and preach, but he will lead us in a prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, once that comes on and we are being led, we will go on our Zoom as usual so that we will see each other as we are praying so that you don't fall asleep on your own. And then we'll send you the link on the platform so that you can link in to the prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where I learned the scripture, Isaiah 58 verse 11. That the Lord will guide us continually and that he will make our bones fat and he will satisfy our souls. He will bless us even in famine. That's where I learned that. It says the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul even in famine. Strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That shall be your story. He will guide you continually through that prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm inviting you all to this. So we are canceling all of our, I know that it's a lot of prayer time. So rather than make you tired, that dumb prayer meeting that makes you tired, no, it's no longer there. That one is your own prayer. When you finish, then you take the prayer and you go and pray it through. So no more of our dumb prayer meetings for this season. You remember we've been changing, We did dawn prayer meeting. Then we changed to 24-hour prayer meeting. Then we changed to fasting. Then we changed to starting at 3 a.m. It's our church. We can change it when we want to. And we are saying that now this is the season of flow prayers. Prayers of the night. Why do we want that? Because that's the present. Bible says he came in the cool of the day. There's no cooler time of the day than from midnight all the way to around 4. It's cool. It's cool. That's where the angels operate. That's where the demons, when you are asleep, they also operate. People sleep and they don't wake up. But we are going to, Bible says, watch and pray. Jesus Christ told his disciples, he went around that time to pray. In Matthew 26. So Adam and Eve, number one, why? Adam and Eve were asked, God visited them in the cool of the day, which is no interruption. Number two, Jesus Christ prayed with his disciples when it was night. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Bible says, Jesus came to the place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit down here while I go and pray. It was night, too, in the night. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. Pray with me. A good pastor prays with his people. Jesus prayed with the church members. I don't see why we should not be able to pray as our pastor with us. And then he came and saw his disciples sleeping. He said, hey, why are you sleeping? What, could you not pray with me for even 1 hour? And he did that for 3 continuous hours. He said this 3 times, 3 hours. They will get up and they pray a little, and then they will be full. Then he woke them up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do what Jesus did with his disciples. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. You are sleeping. You just get to know somebody who knows you well. Say, hey, when I sleep, wake me up. We're going to be on the Zoom. When you wake up, say, hey, sister girl, you are sleeping. Some of you, at a point, will have to give up on you because Jesus had to give up at a point. Look, sleep on, sleep on. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There are going to be all kinds of people. Some of you, you can play through. Some of you can pray only 2 hours. Some of you can pray only 3 hours. Some of you can go all the way. Last week, I tried it with the children, the teenagers. I tell you, they prayed from beginning to the end. Even when the bishop finished and I was going, they said, no, they want to continue. I was so touched. Put your hands together for these kids. Anointed. I was so touched. They kept me awake. So I learned something from their behavior, their character, that why don't I just extend it to the whole church so that we go. Everybody has 2 devices or more. We give you the link. You go. The prayer, the bishop is actually leading the prayer live, giving us topics, and we're all praying. And then you're also on Zoom, seeing your brothers walking back and forth so that you'll be encouraged and become a prayer watchman, a watcher of the night. I see you becoming the next prayerful person. No demon will be able to affect you in Jesus' name. Yeah. So number one, Adam and Eve, God expected them to come to his presence in the cool of the day. Number two, Jesus expected his disciples to stay awake. He said, watch and pray. It means stay awake. Why would he be telling them to stay awake when it was not sleeping time? What it means is that if a pastor tells you to wake up and pray during your sleeping time, that pastor should not be insulted. He's behaving like Jesus. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That is the pastor you must follow. Because most pastors are asleep. And even when they are awake, they don't bring their church members along like Jesus. But this, our bishop, is staying awake and bringing his church members, and you are sleeping. My goodness. Bible says that watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. A lot of the things the devil is going to tempt you with will be resolved at these prayer meetings in Jesus' name. Just because we did what Jesus did. Jesus went and he was one place praying. And he told his children, I'm here, but pray along. Praying. And he was checking, are you awake? Are you awake? Wake up, wake up. Why are you not? Why couldn't you last 1 hour? Why couldn't you last 2 hours? Why couldn't you last 3 hours? That is a Jesus style. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the thing I like about this UD church. Unless the bishop does not see it in the Bible. He saw this. Said, what? Jesus did this with his church members. Why am I sleeping? So I was so excited when he said he would lead us. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's up to us to follow. And I'm sure that Camp Flow prayer meeting tomorrow night starting at 11, most of our church members, if not all, will be there, including you. Clap for yourself if you will be there in Jesus' name. Because Jesus did it. And finally, let me tell you, Paul and Silas did that. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. Paul and Silas. Unless you have not seen trouble before, you will never wake up at night to pray. Paul and Silas. Bible says, give me New Living Translation, please. New Living Translation. It says, and around midnight, Paul and Silas, they had been put in prison. They had been locked. They had been persecuted. They were about to be killed. Some of the problems threatened to kill you. Some of the issues are putting you in bondage, addictions that you cannot get free. Like our sister went for the prayer meeting, the Flow prayer meeting, and the addiction to cigarettes. Suddenly he took his cigarettes after the prayer and says, no, not anymore. I've heard this testimony many times. Suddenly many people had laid hands upon him to pray in tongues. It didn't work. But when he went into this prayer meeting, suddenly the gift of the Spirit came to her. Ladies and gentlemen, if you say this prayer meeting is not supernatural, that God is not existing, that his angels are not with this prayer, you're joking. Paul and Silas, around midnight, the same time, around the same time that our Flow prayer meeting starts, it's around midnight. Around midnight of Monday, around midnight of Thursday, Monday in through Tuesday morning, Thursday through Friday morning. What a blessing. Oh, you missed a good place to clap for the Lord. So around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. You see, there are some of you, you should not be like that. Sometimes others are praying and you are in the prayer meeting, you are just keeping quiet, you are listening. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Join the prayer. What am I supposed to pray about? All the topics will be there. Pray along. Just keep repeating them. And go along. Just that. Bible says suddenly. Somebody say suddenly. There was a massive earthquake. And the prison was shaken to its foundation. And all the doors immediately flew open. And the chains of the prisoners fell off. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Wow. 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 The chains fell off. Just like the chain of smoking will fall off. Just like the chain of pornography, which has stuck with you for a long time, will fall off. Just like the chain of joblessness will fall off. Some of us, the chain of barrenness will fall off. The chain of divorce, always, every relationship goes down. That will fall off in Jesus' name. Bible says certain things do not go out except by prayer and fasting. You know that when you pray in the night, you're fasting sleep. You're fasting sleep. Some of you, you can't put your food aside. No problem. Put your sleep aside. Do you know something? I found out that this corona season, people actually are awake 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. They sleep around 4 a.m. I said, why don't you convert it into a prayer? So ladies and gentlemen, starting tomorrow, you will see it on the platform. When it's 11 o'clock straight, we send you the link. We will send you another one to remind you at 12 o'clock. Join it. Click on it. It will take you to Facebook. If you don't have an account, sign up. Like Paul and Silas, you will pray and the earthquake. Our sister's testimony was powerful. He says after the prayer, he went to sleep and the prayer wouldn't continue. In the dream, the prayer continued. He woke up praying only to find out that the words he didn't understand, tongues. He picked up a cigarette. She could not continue. She was awed, and it continued. He will guide you continually in Jesus' name. He will guide you continually. So that is phase one, the new change. Change number one is the Flow prayer meeting. So what that means is that tomorrow morning when you wake up at dawn, you can get on the prayer line, but it's your personal thing. It's no problem. Okay? We are not saying don't pray. We are saying find time and pray yourself. But the guided prayer is going to be only two times in a week for this season. I don't know how long it will last. Start early because it can easily last within 1 month. Can last within 2 weeks. Just join it now. The link will be made available and join it. It can last any moment. I decided this is the time. I've seen it going on. Why don't I expose you to it and you also get blessed? It's a blessing. So I don't want our, you know, 1 hour prayer meetings, 5 to 6, to interfere with this at all. So I have removed all of them. Yes. And I'm asking that you pray on your way. I know that you wake up at 4 and pray. That's good. But let's all get together Monday night at 11 through the morning with a link. Go on Facebook. You have internet, Wi-Fi for free. Go ahead and do it. And on Thursday night, do the same. But in between, you pray your own prayer early in the morning or in the night, however you want it. Those prayers will be yours. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's change number one, our prayer schedule. Change number two is what I call fruitfulness schedule. Fruitfulness schedule. Now, Adam and Eve, I'm about to end. Adam and Eve, Bible told them, and God told them in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. Look at what God did. 20:28, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. I'm talking about getting back to the garden. Two things happened in the garden that I want you to come back to. The one was the presence of God was expected. Christians and God's children were expected to be in his presence. The second one was fruitfulness. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly, every one of their kind. Amen. And God saw that was good. Verse 22. And listen to this. And God blessed them and said what? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea and let the fowl multiply in the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, fruitfulness was a garden phenomenon. But let's keep going. And in the evening and the morning was a fifth day. And God said, let all the... Now, go to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. How many want fish? I'm telling you, God blessed the garden that you have control of fish. When I'm eating fish, it is my right. Yeah, farming is not my portion in Jesus' name. It's not. God says we should have dominion over the fish. Even before they were caught in the sea, it was we have dominion. Yeah, you watch it. And let them have red snapper, white snapper, every type of snapper. Yeah. Tilapia. I receive it in Jesus' name. Fish. Yeah. Oh, no, no, believe it. Oh, believe it, believe it. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air. That's why chicken, turkey, whatever bird you want is yours in Jesus' name. Turkey burgers are yours. Chicken teriyaki is yours in Jesus' name. Over the cattle, beef kebab, shish kebab, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps, just make sure you don't eat it from Wuhan because it brings corona on the earth. Yeah. Now listen, verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Both male and female. All ye females who think fruitfulness is just for you. It's for men as well. Sometimes I'm there with my wife. Say, my children. So I say, your children, you made them yourself? No, our children, not your children. Amen. Now, verse 28. Listen to that. When God created man and male and female, he said, and God blessed them. How many want God to bless you? May God bless you too. May God speak his blessing upon you. Do you know when God says he's blessed you, the manifestation, you become fruitful. You become fruitful. God blessed them and God said to them, how did he bless them? He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion again over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb. Every herb. I mean, that means that lettuce. That means that what? What are some of the herbs? Cabbages. Rosemary. Or whatever it is. Kale. Spinach. All that. Contombre, somebody said. All those things. All these things. Now, I've given every head-bearing seed which is on the face of the earth and every tree which is the fruit of the tree yielding itself, to you it shall be for meat. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, God says that he blessed them. Says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see somebody who is blessed, that person is multiplying. Bible says children are a blessing from the womb or inheritance from the womb. And the fruit of the womb are his reward. Part of God's blessing is to multiply yourself on this earth. And God wants to multiply the redeemed self of yours. He made them his own image so that they could be replicated. God has made you born again and made you in his own image by his spirit. Not for you to remain as one and die as one. God is expecting by the time you die, there are at least 12 of your kind in this earth. 12 of your kind. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. There should be at least 12 of Reverend Lindsay's by the time I leave this scene. 12 people that are preaching. Yes, this time we are expecting that this, you'll be fruitful. Back to the garden. Every curse that was upon Adam will not be your portion. Every curse he faced, the reason why they said now he will add the sweat he would eat. It was not meant for that. Kebab was supposed to be his. He was supposed to have command over these things. When somebody is fruitful, he glorifies God. That is why, though I'm a physician, I'm becoming fruitful. Look at you, more than 150 people watching. We have over 100 people on devices, and each household is made up of families. Ladies and gentlemen, even if there are just two people in your room, we have at least 200. I came here with nobody, but look at me, multiplying myself. Don't blame God if you see me prospering. And I shouldn't blame God when I see you prospering, because you're going to be fruitful. You're going to multiply your kind in the name of Jesus. How are we going to do it? We're going to form what we call Wasentes. Coronavirus has made it difficult for us to meet together here. The advantage of it is that you can multiply seed. You can invite your friends to come to every service that we have. And suddenly you don't have to be a preacher. Bring them, I'll preach to them by the grace of God. Bring them to your center service, that your center leader will preach to them by the grace of God. They'll gather the Wasentes. So everybody that is here, you should be like the woman at the well in John 4. Jesus just saved her, and she went and brought all the friends. He was a prostitute, he knew a lot of men, but he brought all of them. Brought the people of his kind, the people of her kind. Sometimes you are a student, you bring your students along. Multiply student type after your kind. Yeah, I have brought a lot of people. Almost everybody you see who is a healthcare worker is because I found them in the hospital. My kind. Either a patient or a healthcare worker. Because my kind. Brother Michael is one. Sister Linda, Pastor Daniel, all these people who are medical people, I found them while I was working. While you are a student, you can find students and tell them, hey, this is the link on Sunday. Now our service time is changing to 11. To 11, because we want you to be able to get up and invite all your friends and tell them and remind them, come, it's at 11. Next week we are meeting at 11 o'clock, because you are so fruitful that for you to gather your fruit for them to come, it takes time. We give you some time. In the morning, we go for, because we have that much time, we will go for the service, a bishop service, which is in the morning, starting at 7 o'clock. All of you, will give you the link. When you finish, you gather your people. You gather your people and you join our service at 11. In the morning, we get the big service that they are doing at First Love. Why not? Which two we are First Lovers? We'll send you the link in the morning. You enjoy it. Then you start calling your people. Our service is about to start. You're going to be fruitful. Some of you don't have a car to have brought them. when we were meeting physically. But now you don't need a car. You just need a phone call, and thank God you have unlimited service on your plan. Just call them, send them a text, and it will be a blessing. Look, next week I will explain to you the details, but expect that whatever group you form, we call it a Wasenta, you put them in a platform, you send them the link, you guide them. We are having a service here. We are having a flow prayer service there. We are having a flow encounter service there. And these people will follow you, and you will be blessed because you are fruitful and you are multiplying. Back to the garden without the curse. Close to God again. Fruitful for God again. Those are the two changes, and I believe that it will lift you up as you use this to honor the Lord. And as, by the grace of God, the pastors guide you, we're going to try not to be like Eli. We're going to try and practically, hands-on, tell you, oh, this is how you should do it. This is how you should do it. So we're going to form platform, WhatsApp platforms, all the old platforms. At a point, we'll just put them on the hold. And then you have one platform where you belong, a group here, a group there, maybe 12 with a pastor, 12 here with a shepherd, 12 here with a pastor, 12 here with a shepherd. And then, once that is done, then everybody there inside that platform, you will begin. Each of you will get your own people. That 12 can easily become 100 people. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That 12 can become 60 people. Those 12 that are together in one platform, by the time we realize, by the end of the month, each of you, even if you get only 3, 12 times 3 is what? 36, 40 people. That's how to multiply. Bless, because you multiply. Bible says, by this, you glorify the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, believe me, one day the trumpet will sound. What we find a lockdown here will be a permanent lockdown, one by one. That one, when they lock you down, you'll be in darkness. You get up, and you'll be down and out. Even when you knock on the casket, nobody will open. It's a permanent lockdown. But that will be the flesh. Every fruit that you bore, every way you multiplied yourself, in your new place, God would have made the mansion for you with the people that you brought. And he will shake your hand and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you are faithful with this little that I gave you, now come to the city of the Lord, the city of the New Jerusalem, because you did your best to be fruitful. That was what Adam and Eve were supposed to do. Multiply that new image in the image of God. But now the new image of the world is the image of the world because of Satan. When you get born again, get more people to be born again. Get more people to come into the kingdom, which is the doorway to heaven. And God will make a difference in your life. So people of God, number one is the flow service. Number two is the fruitfulness called the Wasenta meetings. And I'm sure at our center meetings, we will explain these things to you. May the Lord bless you. May you be fruitful and may you multiply. May you come into his presence again. May his blessing find you wherever you are. May you never be a prodigal son, wasteful of all the blessings and the anointings upon your life. May you pray for me also so that I will upgrade my pastoral things, not just to be a preacher, together with the pastors that will be hands-on and help you as God's children, not to be like Eli's children. But God will take away the curse, guide you continually, and to his blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together. Rise to your feet, please. Rise to your feet, please. Oh, I'm sure that Sister Ariel will come and explain a few details for you. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Put your hand on your heart, please. Put your hand on your heart. And pray to the Lord that, Lord, I want to be back in your original garden, not the sinful garden. I want to be back. Your plans for Adam and Eve before they sinned, I want to be restored to those plans. I want to be a God lover. I want to honor you. Honor you with coming into your presence in love. Honor you with fruitfulness. These two that you created Adam and Eve to do, you created them, Lord. Number one, to honor you in your presence and to spend time with you. Number two, to be fruitful. I'm here. Use me for that purpose. And may I replicate people in your image forever. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Somebody invited you for this service. God bless you for coming. But you know something? You don't have to go back the same. God says just a prayer of faith will bring his spirit back into you and will bless you. Put your hand on your heart and let's pray this prayer. It's a prayer of restoration. It's a prayer of redemption. It may sometimes be called a sinner's prayer. But after the prayer, you're no longer a sinner. Pray with me and say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you just like the prodigal son. I am back to your garden, not the garden of the devil. I know I'm a sinner. Please take up my sins. Wash my sins by the blood of Jesus Christ and make me righteous, a child of God. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for me, and God raised him from the dead. Since I believe this, it means I am born again. From now, I'm a child of God. Please write my name in the book of life and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit, your anointing, and to fruitfulness. May I flow in your presence, in prayer, and to bear fruit for you. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.